This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Everything Involves, the world's only podcast devoted exclusively to Evolve Wrestling. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Aaron Bentley. And folks, I am joined once again, finally, by Aaron Taub. What's up, AT?
Not much. It's great to be back. I think you did an amazing job in my absence. I'm like really proud of the episode you did with Brian from Street Fight. Thank you, Brian, for coming on. I thought that... I love the episode with our friends Nate and Jake. I thought that they really added a lot to the show, and it was, you know, I finally caught up on the final weeks, the second Evolve show yesterday, and then right after that, I was able to, you know, because I didn't want to get spoiled, so I was able to listen to the show you did with Nate and Jake, and I loved listening to y'all's banter, and obviously the Jarek interview was sublime. So while it's sad that I feel not needed, unnecessary on my own podcast, I think you did a great job, and I'm super excited to be back.
It's kind of wild that Jarek 120 has been on this show more recently than you have.
That's tough, but it's true. I was busy with congressional campaign that I was volunteering on. I don't know. I feel like it didn't get covered in the news much, but we won. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you've heard of it.
Anyone heard of this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? You guys heard it here first, which is like kind of the funny thing, which is that, I mean, Everything Evolves was ahead of Chapo Trap House. We were ahead of Pod Save America. We were ahead of NPR. We were ahead of like really everyone except for like, the people like the Justice Democrats and brand new Congress people who started Alexandria's campaign. But like after that, like we were ahead of the entire media apparatus pretty much on this story. You guys, you know, it's really, really funny because it was like, I don't know. It was like for like 4 months between like, you know, the 2 months of like working through the entire like New York City DSA apparatus to try to sort of like get our organization to endorse Alexandria so we could run our DSA canvases through the 2 months that we were canvassing for her. It was like, this was just like a thing that was happening in my life and a thing that was happening in the lives of like 200 other people who also kind of put their lives on pause to volunteer or work on this campaign. And it was just it's been such a strange mind fuck to have like this thing that was happening in my life become this giant international news story. I don't know. So yeah, I think that there's one thing that I was like a little concerned about though when I listened to our last episode. There was this idea that you can't phone bank if you can't contribute your time if you're out of state in a race like this. And I just wanted to correct the record on that. Shout out to our friend on Twitter, Abrasive Obelisk. He text banked on the Ocasio campaign. It's like, I just wanted to make sure people know that you can give your time, you can give your money. And, you know, if you want to sort of get in on the ground floor on another exciting socialist victory, I'd like you all to sort of take a chance to learn a little bit more about my friend Julia Salazar. She's running for state senate in Brooklyn's 18th district, Williamsburg, Greenpoint, Cypress Hills, Bushwick. You know, she's running a really radical campaign that really centers on the idea of decommodifying housing, right? people need homes to live. It shouldn't be this way for like landlords who are parasites, who don't do anything to like just make money from people who are trying to live in their homes. She's running on a strong platform of like expanding rent protections to tenants in a neighborhood that I'm sure even you know, like even as someone who isn't in New York, like Williamsburg and Bushwick, these are neighborhoods that are just going through extreme gentrification with landlords harassing tenants out of their apartments so that they can raise the rent. She's running on Medicare for All here in New York State. Like Alexandria, she's also calling for abolishing ICE. She's a real deal activist organizer who's running to represent the people of North Brooklyn. And if you want to get involved, SalazarForSenate.com, SalazarForSenate.com. We'll put the link in the show notes. We're all really, 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 really fired up about kind of the socialist movement we're building and the attention that we're getting, and we hope to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, I mean, her website has AT in it, so you know she's a big involved pothead.
Yeah, right. It's also kind of wild that it's like, you know, like it's a little bit of a stretch. Like it's definitely a stretch, but it's not so much of a stretch to be like, yeah, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, she like she retweets you and stuff on Twitter. So
yeah. I mean, she knows the show exists. I don't think that she would ever listen to it.
Or knows
what it's called. Sure. But like she knows that there's a wrestling podcast with two Aarons who are really into socialism.
We're basically in Congress now. Like we have a vote.
Yeah, we have a voice. Right. So yeah. I think that when there are issues that come up that affect our community, such as, you know, anything about net neutrality so we can get our content, we have a voice. I'm trying to think. I was trying to do a bit, but I was like, I didn't want to like insult our listeners too much. I like couldn't think of anything that creative.
I think the way we can really get our listeners on board is to say, like, as soon as we abolish ICE, yeah, the next step is abolish WWE.
Right. Yeah. Abolish WWE. And look, I think that, you know, we should have less strict borders. Speedball Mike Bailey should come back to it.
That was very good.
Yeah. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a fighter for the entire working class, even the wrestling nerds. If anyone tries to come out with a law that says you have to shower, you know, every couple of days, Alexandria is going to fight for us.
Yes, she is. If you're interested in Julia Salazar, by the way, yeah, she did an interview that was on Chapo Trap House, one of their free episodes. So easy to check out and learn more about her and her campaign. I don't know. She seems very cool. I'm excited about her. Okay,
I had a question for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now that we're winning these elections.
Yeah.
When are you going to join DSA?
You know, I don't know. I have not joined. I've spoken to you privately about my concerns with the local DSA. It's getting closer to that time, I think.
I think so. I mean, I think you should be the change you wish to see in Louisville DSA.
Well, to put a, I don't know, to really lean into the stereotype, I'm afraid I would be just another white dude in the Louisville DSA. I don't know. There's nothing else to say about that.
I mean, look, here's the thing about being a white dude. It's like, you can either, it's like either you sit on the sidelines or you try to help, right? There's nothing you can do to like, you know, like you're always going to have white privilege. You're always going to be like a white person. There's nothing you can do about that. But if you're like, I mean, you should always like try to like cede leadership to people, women and people of, or non-men and people of color. And like, you like sort of can clear the way when there are other folks who are more marginalized who want to lead. But ultimately, like, the doors need to get knocked. And people need to talk to their neighbors. We need to change minds. We need to organize the working class. There is enough work to go around. Like, and you're doing the work, right? You know this. I don't have to tell you. You're like, obviously.
Oh,
like, you don't have to be because you're like actually doing like revolutionary praxis in your job to, you know, advocating for prisoners who've been like really the most marginalized people in society. Like, I don't have to tell you this, but I don't know. I think it's useful to talk about. So I think that like,
absolutely.
I think that like, if you're like a woke white person, it's very easy to be like, well, like, I don't want to like get in the way and be another white person. And it's like, yeah, I think you can be sensitive to that idea. And sort of like make way for others to lead when they're ready. But also sometimes it's like, I don't know, the work needs to get done. And also like, especially if you're like a white person, you are more likely to have like economic privilege, and under capitalism, only people with a certain amount of privilege can devote a bunch of free time into organizing, right? Because, you know, if you're working 60 hours a week because you have to make rent, and you don't have health care, and you don't have like a family that can like serve as like a safety net if you fall or, you know, whatever, right? Like, you know, you might not have the time to knock the doors. So, and it's like incumbent on you, if you have the like, if you have the privilege to be able to like help and do the work, it's like incumbent on you to do it.
Right. We can't just, we can't post our way out of capitalism, unfortunately.
Yeah. Right. The revolution will not be retweeted.
All right. Well, in.
That's your moralizing for the episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There'll be more, I'm sure, from us. But Alexandria's victory is not the only big thing that's happened since the last time AT was on the show. Of course, you took a big trip to Japan.
Yeah.
I think our listeners want to hear about that.
Yeah. Japan whips ass. Here's one thing about Japan, though, that you might not know. You have to be very strategic about how you throw things in the garbage. Trash cans are like a hidden treasure in Japan. They're like, there aren't like trash cans on the street. They're almost always are not trash cans in bathrooms. Like, it was almost like being a Sim. Like, you know, in The Sims, if you like don't put a trash can in the apartment, they'll just like throw their trash on the floor and like yell out in like in pain and distress. Like, that's kind of what Japan is like, because there just like aren't really trash cans anywhere. So you really need to like, if you see one, you got to be like, oh, do I have any trash? I got to throw it out now. Or you got to like bring your trash with you from place to place until you can find a garbage.
But is there like a lot of trash like on the street?
No. People are just very conscientious about like if they drink a drink and they're like taking it with them, they just like carry it around with them until they can find a hidden trash can.
It honestly, like, I don't mean this in a bad way, but like the only place that I'm familiar with where there's not a trash can in the bathroom is prison, because they don't want you like hiding things, you know, for visitation.
Right. Yeah. So. But otherwise, we had a fantastic time. We went to a lot of really cool shrines in like Kyoto, which is beautiful. Kyoto is really cool. It's like pretty chill. There's a lot of shrines. It rained like the entire time we were in Kyoto. We went to Osaka, which is like hip. They have this like area that's all like Amerimura or Americamura is like the area, and it's like hip streetwear that's like Western influenced. And it was just kind of funny how strong 90s American culture is in the hip area of Osaka. Like, every store has like Biggie and Tupac and Kurt Cobain and Michael Jordan's number 23 jersey. That was really cool. We went to Nara and saw like the giant Buddha, the Daibatsu. That was really cool. Great Buddha. And there's just like deer all over the place. that's like the other thing it's famous for, is there's just like deer wandering around this park. And then we went to the floating shrine in Miyajima, the famous floating shrine we all know and love. And then we went to Hiroshima, and that was really fascinating because it was just like a really pretty town and like a cool place with a lot of like great restaurants and, you know, nice public spaces. And we had some great oysters there. And it was just sort of sad that, you know, you don't really, the one thing that people know about it is, or at least internationally, right, or at least that I had been aware of previously, was, you know, the destruction that came with the atomic bomb. And we went to the Peace Museum there, and it was really, really eye-opening just to see that, like, there was, like, no reason for us to drop that bomb. We had, like, Japan was pretty much done in the war, like, but the Americans didn't want to cede. You know, they didn't want, like, the Russians to have, like, more influence in the Asian sphere, and so they just killed 200,000 people for no reason at all. And so it was just like, I don't know, that was a really eye-opening thing and made me sort of think about like, what are the atrocities that we're committing now that, you know, we're going to look back on, you know, 60 years from now and be like, oh gosh, I can't believe, you know, the American government did this in our names.
I told you we would moralize more on this.
Yeah. But now we're getting to the wrestling. The other thing that we have to talk about is I went to two wrestling shows in Japan. We went to the second night of the G1 Climax tournament in went at Oda City Gymnasium or Oda City Gymnasium, and I guess like the suburbs of Tokyo. We took the train. The trains in Tokyo are like as good as they say. It was so hard to like go back to the New York City subway. They're super easy to navigate. Anyone can do it. Even a Joe Lanza, I think, could make it on these trains. Everything is clearly marked. They're like different colors for different lines. And there's these big screens that are like in Japanese and in English that will just tell you, you know, like in New York, there's a schedule, but no one really pays attention to it. It's kind of made up and changes as it goes along because our trains are never on time. But like in Japan, it's like, you know, it says the train is showing up at like 1:41, and at 1:41, the train shows up. So we took the train down to Oda City, and the show was awesome. I mean, that show had an excellent Kota Ibushi, Zack Sabre Jr. match, and then the main event was Kenny Omega versus Tetsuya Naito. That was an awesome match to see live. It's really cool, actually. Like the whole like the basement of the arena was where all the merch and stuff was, and there were dudes just like hanging out. It was kind of wild because you think of New Japan as sort of like these major league wrestlers. But it was like a nice mix of like a major league show with some of the access you get at an indie wrestling show. Like there were people who were just like standing out, like some of the Suzuki Gun guys were just like standing by a table, not Zach, but other guys were like standing at like a table, like signing merch. I got to Juice Robinson was doing a signing. So I bought his like the flamboyant Juice Robinson shirt and got it signed by him. He was friendly.
I really love your canvassing pick where it's like everybody has an Alexandria shirt on except you in the Juice Robinson shirt.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah, I didn't get the memo, I guess, because they were canvassing for Cynthia Nixon for governor and Zephyr Teachout for attorney general and Jumaane Williams for lieutenant governor. Some of my friends from the Ocasio campaign were like, you should come out and canvass. And I think that they said to wear your Ocasio shirt, but I like forgot to wear mine. So I was just showed up in my signed Juice Robinson shirt with his giant ass signature on the back. It was extremely cool. Everyone thinks I'm very cool. And
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So they had great merch. Like the Japanese merch is so much better than American wrestling merch. Like all of our stuff are like, I don't know, like I would never wear a WWE shirt. Because they all have like hideous shit on the back, or they're just like totally gross. But there was so much. I bought the and bought the Juice shirt with the different color flamboyant bears, you know, his persona on them. And then I got the Yano Toro Vitruvian Man shirt.
Like, oh, wow. Now, like, you've already adopted the Japanese way of saying names. That was quick.
Toro Yano, Yano Toro. What do you say?
I guess you say Toro Yano.
I don't know. Whatever. That's the one name where I just kind of get it mixed up back and forth because that's the point. Yeah.
Are you going to put kanji in your display name now?
I mean, I'm not there yet. But I have been to Japan, so I mean, I feel like I'd be pretty justified in doing it.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, that show was awesome. I think it was really cool to, the atmosphere for Naito Omega was really, really something special. Like, it was like the moment they came out, everyone was just buzzing. It had that sort of big fight feel that you really don't see as much anymore in the States, because it's like, you know, indies don't usually get several thousand people in them. And when they do, you don't get a match that's like built up as much as Omega Naito, that has like that kind of like history and weight that their rivalry has. And then obviously, like, there aren't really big matches in WWE because it's, you know, there's no stakes to anything they do. So it was really, really cool to like be in that building and just like feel the vibe. And in like the finishing stretch of that match is just bonkers. And
is there an American match you can think of that you've been to that had a similar feel, just for comparison's sake?
Yeah, I went to the Kenta Kobashi Samoa Joe match, and that had like a similar sort of like buzz from the moment they came out, where everyone knew that they were at a big fight from the beginning. That was like, yeah, maybe a little more anticipation even for that Kobashi match. That was one match. I'm trying to think of others that kind of had that. I guess like Samoa Joe versus Shinsuke Nakamura, the first time that they wrestled at like the TakeOver, kind of had that buzz until the match started and it was bad.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really cool. And it was cool to go with Alyssa. I think she really liked, comparatively, like the New Japan show over the WWE shows. I think that she gets like, I think if wrestling shows were like less similar to New Japan and then like 2 hours long instead of three, she would be like totally cool to go to more.
I agree with Alyssa on that point.
Yeah. Right. At the end, she was like, this was fun, but now I'm really tired. This was just a lot of wrestling. But I think she had a good time. We were seated behind, you know, a bunch of people. You know, we were seated behind like one woman who was in full like Roppongi 3K gear and bought the Roppongi 3K photo book. It was just the whole show was just like, yo, show, you know, like kind of doing like, it was
no matter
really
who
cool.
was out there.
What?
No matter who was in out.
No, I mean, dirt when they were out there, okay. But like, it was cool to be amongst the authentic, like sort of, you know, like people are, you know, like Ibushi, you know, right. It was like really cool to sort of like hear that live and in person.
Did Alyssa think about buying a copy of the photo book?
No, but she was like, she did remark that like WWE's wrestlers were like a man's idea of a hot guy, and like the New Japan wrestlers are what like an actual hot guy looks like. Like, she was like, yeah, I mean, you can't understand anything they're saying, so there's nothing offensive. And she was like, yeah, like, I'd go watch some cuties like roll around for a couple hours.
Absolute same, Alyssa.
Yeah. So I think we had a good time at that. Cool. We also went to, and now like a running joke in our apartment is just to, like, yell Ibushi, you know, like a female New Japan fan around our apartment, which is good. It's like sort of indoctrinating her into the culture. And then we also went to Stardom, which was like all men. You're like, oh, wow, this is creepy. You know, I don't think you realize, like, just watching it at home, just like the extent to which it's just like a perv promotion. So we went to Stardom. It was at Cork and Hall. So it was so cool to like be in that building and look around and like sort of see the weird hallway entrances and like the east and west signs that you're so used to seeing on your computer screen. We were in the second row for a show that had the big Momo Watanabe versus Hazuki match for the Wonder of Stardom Championship. That was great. These tiny women just beat the shit out of each other. We saw Ray Wagner showed up against, like, I guess, Iho Del Wagner, right? Wagner Jr. Iho Del Wagner Jr., his son. And there was like a trios match that was like Natsu Sumire. It was like the Ueno Tai ladies and Ray Wagner's son against Ray Wagner, Mayu Iwatani, and Saki Kashima. And it was just awesome. It was really great. Like, Mayu and Ray Wagner have just a ton of charisma, and Kagetsu is amazing. And it was just a really, really fun six-person tag match that was like, you know, one of those like great live matches where there's like a lot of like great character work and sort of crowd interaction. That was excellent. Onita showed up kind of randomly to announce that he was going to be the producer of Stardom Idols, which is like their new sort of like girl band music and TV content.
Sure.
Thing,
yeah.
Brand.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously. And so that was, yeah, we had a great time. That was a great show and a ton of fun. But just a lot of, you know, sort of like nerdy adult men. It was interesting because like the New Japan show had like a ton of women in the crowd, and it was like a cool, normal thing. And like the Stardom crowd was more similar to an American indie crowd. but yeah, it was really cool. It was like, actually, we met a couple people from Twitter in Japan. We met, I'm going to butcher this because I don't watch Dragon Ball or whatever it's from, but we met Weed Lord Vegeta.
I think it's,
you know how,
I think,
how do you,
I don't know. I'd say Vegeta, but I have no idea if that's right.
Weed Lord
that's
Vegeta.
Very close to vagina,
so. We met the Weed Lord and his partner, and they were lovely. They were really cool. We had dinner with them in Osaka, and we also met this woman, Valerie, who was in the crowd, had like cool Young Bucks leggings at the New Japan show, and then she and I were both tweeting from the show, and then Kath Barbadaro from Russell Splania was like, you guys should meet. And then I went and had beers with Valerie and her partner at a bar, and she got them to put the G1 matches on their computer. And so she got the bartender, she like signed into New Japan World on the computer and like got the bartender to put it on. And so we like were drinking beers and watching Minoru Suzuki, whom I met at his door.
Yeah.
I got a mark, my first ever mark picture. I know I always bag on mark pictures on this show.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
It's Misu, the god.
The god. I bought a t-shirt at his store. He was like not super friendly. He was unfazed. I was like, yeah, I came from America to watch the wrestling. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, great, thanks. But I got a shirt. I got a picture with him.
I mean, would you really want Suzuki to be like
impressed by me? Right. No. It was perfect. He was on brand. So yeah, I think that was my trip. Any questions for me about, you know, my trip and how, you know,
I would love if Suzuki was like, oh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right?
Right. Yeah. He was like, oh, you're from Queens. No, the real thing would have been like, oh, everything evolves.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I tried to be slightly realistic there, AT.
Are you one of the Aarons? From the niche pro wrestling podcast, Everything Evolves?
Yeah, that would have been excellent. Yeah. I guess my main question is, how comfortable with you are you now that you've gone to a real Stardom show with this becoming a Stardom podcast?
You know, I don't know. What do you think would get us more listeners?
This or Stardom?
Yeah.
Well, I posed that question in the group chat, and our friends all thought Stardom would get more listeners than this. Well, look,
Sorry, go ahead.
Jake did ask me whether it would be a horny podcast, mm-hmm. and that would have an impact on on the number of listeners that we have.
Yeah. I would never do the male gaze in public. So
of course.
Couldn't be, and I've never been horny.
Right. I know that.
So, you know, it'd have to be a non-horny Stardom podcast, which would probably limit our listenership.
I don't know. Our friends seem to think that's the best path, is to have a non-horny Stardom podcast.
But I feel like people are like, Aaron, we want your takes. Give us the takes. And, but yeah, maybe they're right. Anyway, no, I could never abandon our friends at Evolve Wrestling, you know. And our fantastic Evolve fan listeners.
That's right. We will never betray them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about non-Evolve things, so perhaps hilariously on a show that I always start with, a podcast devoted exclusively to Evolve Wrestling.
Exclusively to Evolve Wrestling, socialist podcasts, random travel that we take.
Well, I feel like our listeners come to hear us. They know us. They want to listen to what's going on with us. We don't get into like everything, but I think they want a little flavor of what's going on in our lives.
I think so too. I think that yeah. And you can always skip to the Evolve talk. You know, you can always scan to where we start getting into it. We can put some time. Yeah,
you can smash the 15-second forward button until you get to until you hear us say Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you? I'm just looking at our rundown. Do you want to talk any more about the Jarek interview? Do you have anything you want to say about that?
Oh, I was just gonna say you did a fantastic job, and I'm really proud of you.
I wasn't just setting you up for the record.
No. You rolled with the punch. I put it in the rundown. You rolled with the punches. And if anyone hasn't listened to Aaron's interview with Jarek 120, a revealing soul searching interview about his sort of struggles in the wrestling world, I think you should check that out. I think we're gonna try to get another interview with some other wrestling folks coming up. We're working on something. We've got a sort of it's on me. I need to sort of respond to some messages and, like, you know, be proactive about setting up times and stuff. But we're hoping. I don't want to promise anything. Probably should cut this.
Yeah, don't promise.
Whatever. Anyway, we'd like to have another interview in the future. So yeah,
cool. Yeah, if you haven't listened to the Jarek interview, I hope you will, just because, as a lot of people talked about on Twitter, it's like it's a side of an independent wrestler we don't normally get to see. You know, they always seem to be kind of puffing themselves up in a lot of ways, you know, when they finally talk publicly. So it's really cool to hear, like, an actual vulnerable human being who happens to be a pro wrestler. So I thought it was, for me, it was very interesting, just like listening to Jarek talk about what's going on in his life. So I really enjoyed it, and I hope everybody who hasn't listened will take the chance to do so.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we're really going to talk about Evolve.
Hell yeah, let's get into it. I'm fired up. I watched, you know, I was watching some shows the past couple of days just to get caught up, taking my notes, and I'm ready to get these takes off. We got a lot of takes.
Right. Let's do the damn thing. Yeah. We'll start with, you know, kind of the big topics. Of course, we're going to be talking about Evolve 108 and Evolve 109, which are this weekend. This is part of the tour that Evolve is doing with Progress. I think what we're going to do is, next week, we're going to do a hybrid review show of this weekend shows and a preview of next weekend shows. It's kind of a weird thing. Evolve usually just runs once a month, you know, two times a month, one weekend a month. This time they're going to be running two weekends in a row. So we're going to mix things up a little bit. But we're not going to talk about at length the Chicago and Detroit shows today. Okay. All right. Before we get into that, some big news around the Evolve universe is WWN has adopted the WWE Network model, which means that all the shows are now live with your, how much is it? Is it $9.99 subscription to WWN Live?
$9.99.
I don't know what that was.
That was, I really don't know how to sing on key. I'm really bad at singing. No harmony or melody, pitch, whatever the other musical things are that you could have. I don't have them. But that was an attempt to do the famous WWE jingle. If you don't recall, when they first came out at the WWE Network, they had this whole like sort of like rock song that was just like about how it was $9.99. And it was just, they played it constantly forever if you were watching WWE television at the time.
I hope someone is like smashing that 15-second button and they just get to $9.99.
Yeah, just totally off key. But yeah, that's how much it costs now for Club WWN.
Right. You get the shows live. Yeah. You don't have to buy them to get the live or get the VOD. And they're putting the VOD up more quickly. So they're promising them within 72 hours, right? But they've pretty much been up the same day. Well, within 24 hours, they've been up recently. So that's all good stuff. I mean, I'm excited about that. Do you think it's that? Well, it's got to be that it's not going well and they're trying to goose subscriptions, right?
Yeah, I think that at the time we were like, well, it's probably not feasible for them, you know, in terms of their profit margins to do the $9.99 all-inclusive model. And we had thought that, you know, this was kind of their way of saying, okay, we're going to keep selling our live streams and our DVDs, and then our most hardcore customers will get like a small discount, or people who just want to go back and watch old Dragon Gate USA, we can make some incremental revenues from them by doing this. But this seems to be saying that they're struggling to get people to buy at the higher price points, and they're trying to adopt the rest of the market or adapt to the rest of the market and go down to $9.99. Yeah. I mean, I guess probably they lost a lot of interest after Flow Slam in the sense that people were, you know, if you'd bought a year-long subscription, you were paying $12 a month, and then they were suddenly asking you to pay like what, 20 at least?
Yeah, 20 or 25.
Like 20 or 25 if you wanted the VODs too. So this is good. I think it will sort of, I don't know if it's going to make them money, but it's definitely good for fans who are interested in, you know. For us, it's like our interest is in more people watching the promotion, not necessarily in the promotion turning a profit. So for us, I think it's good because they will have probably more viewers and it will get more people into the promotion. So I think that that's good. It will be tough for them to raise the prices if they wanted to do that moving forward. Although maybe they would raise their prices more on live tickets and sort of be like, you know, the live experience is a premium thing. But yeah, I think it's good, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Did you catch the Ethan Page podcast where he talked about Evolve?
Which one? Was that like right after he left, or was there a new one?
There's a more recent one on the
Tell me about it.
Right, so it's called the Bitter Boys Club podcast, I think.
Yeah.
It's Ethan Page and the guy from Flow Slam.
Brent Brookhouse. Yeah, nice guy. I like Brent.
Yes.
I've listened to their show in the past. I listened to it like right after it started and Ethan first left Evolve. And like I listened to their stuff about sort of Mania Weekend. Yeah, it's a really good show, I think.
Yeah, so they were kind of promoting it as Ethan opening up about his experience in Evolve. And because he had previously said he wasn't going to do it unless somebody paid him to do a shoot interview, which he still didn't. He still, you know, was claiming that he was holding back things or whatever. But basically, he went really hard on Gabe. Like, I guess at some point he asked for a small raise. And according to him, and Gabe told him that he wasn't worth that. And so he wasn't going to give him that. And that's, you know, Brookhouse asked him, well, when did you decide you were going to leave Evolve? And he said, well, this is a strange answer, but it was when I signed my last deal. because I think at that time, that's when he asked for the extra money and Gabe told him he wasn't worth it. So he figured it was, you know, close to time for him to wrap up there. And he told a story about how he pitched to Gabe a story where Austin Theory would turn heel and join Ethan Page and help him. He would attack Zach and help Ethan win the title against Zach back at the match where we all thought that Ethan was going to win in the first place. And Gabe basically told him that it was the dumbest idea he'd ever heard, that he couldn't believe that Ethan was such a mark for the belt, and blah, blah, blah. You'd have to listen to the podcast to get the full flavor of what Ethan says Gabe said to him about this incident. So he goes really hard on it, but the reason I just thought of it when you were talking was Ethan has a lot of the same comments that we did back around the Flow Slam thing of like, all this money coming in, none of it was going to improve Evolve. There wasn't the product, you know, he talks a lot about the production values, which we've talked about at length on this show, and how nothing was done to fix that. And he says, you know, and I feel like he has got a better idea than we do, that the talent was not getting more money when the Flow Slam money was coming in. So anyway, I thought it was interesting. I think everybody should check it out if you're interested in Evolve. And, you know, take it for what it's worth. Obviously, Ethan left there on bad terms. But it doesn't sound unreasonable. It's not unreasonable to believe what Ethan Page is saying.
Yeah. Solidarity with Ethan Page. Who is always, like, nice to us.
Yeah.
Which is really, or he would like, I feel like he faved some of our tweets. We never really, I don't know. I have like a very low bar for when people are nice to me.
Sure.
But yeah, no, he was chill. Yeah. And this company, and we'll talk about this, this company could use an Ethan Page right now.
Yeah. He has this whole thing on the podcast about like, okay, you're doing like the grapple fuck stuff. He's like, I don't really agree. I agree somewhat with what he's saying, but not totally. He was saying that people are leaving WWE and looking for an alternative. And he was almost suggesting that that meant that Evolve should work in some more like pro wrestling writ large type entertainment, not just the straight grappling, technical wrestling type stuff, that that would attract some of those fans. Not sure that I agree with that, but I do think it's, it would be valuable to have more of more diversity on Evolve shows, you know, have, which they're doing a little bit more of now. But so I thought that was interesting, even if I didn't agree with him completely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that like he was a star, not like a gigantic star. He wasn't a star on the level of a Zack Sabre Jr. or Keith Lee or a Matt Riddle, but he was more of a star than like a Tracy Williams. Like if he was still on this roster, you know, he would still be sort of near the top of the card, right?
Oh yeah. He's a lot more interesting than a lot of the guys that they use.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't always into his stuff.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that's fascinating. I'm going to check that out. But, yeah, the WWE Network model, I think, is it's really great for fans. You can pay $9.99 a month and get all the shows, and you can watch them live. And I hope that it leads to more people checking out the product, and I hope that they deliver. And also, especially, too, like, with this big month coming up with four shows this month, that's pretty good.
Yeah, four shows for $9.99.
I'm like, pretty good. I'm very curious to know what the bottom line looks like and whether this is going to work, whether this is working for them, or maybe, you know, we'll see. Right.
Well, there's nobody to sue them now. So we'll probably never see the, we'll never see the numbers.
Right. But you're also like, yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see if there's an uptick in people watching their shows at the lower price point. And if there isn't an uptick in more people watching, right? If we don't sense that more people are getting into the product, we can probably, and they don't, and we don't see them make cuts elsewhere, we can presume that there might be another source of money coming in.
That's fair. That's
right. Fair. Right. If you don't see cuts on production or talent, and live ticket sales seem that they're kind of around the same, you know, you can do the math yourself, I guess.
It's kind of an interesting time to try to get more eyeballs on the product because they are losing a lot of their talent.
Right.
As we know, Zack Sabre Jr. is no longer working with Evolve. Keith Lee is gone to WWE. The word is that Matt Riddle is on his way to WWE. There's going to be a Loser Leaves Town match on this tour. Either Tracy Williams or Stokely Hathaway is apparently going to be gone. So kind of a tough time. Not a lot of stars to sell to people trying to get into Evolve.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in the sense that we'll see. Maybe the Tracy versus Stokely thing is like a fake angle and one of them will come back under another gimmick, but I don't know. You could see the logic for either of them leaving. It's like, you know, Stokely Hathaway could be going on to greener pastures. I think he's like a super talented person who could go places. And then you look at sort of Tracy Williams's career in Evolve and you're like, well, they've done kind of everything they can do with him, right? They're not, it doesn't seem like it would make sense to like push him higher up the card into a main eventer. And he's been kind of in this upper mid card role for like 3 years now. And it's like Catchpoint has kind of run its course. And I don't know what you know, I feel like you can always find something to do with Stokely Hathaway because he's going to make, he can, his character can align with like any heel and like it will be entertaining and it will be good. But with like Tracy Williams, you're like, what do you do with this guy at this point? I mean, I guess, yeah, you're like, especially now that they've sort of turned him babyface, you're sort of like, you don't know where to go. Like, I think as a heel, you're like, okay, he can be kind of like your upper mid card, like gatekeeper, so to speak. And maybe he's that, he's a guy people beat on the way up on the babyface side, but I don't know. It just feels like, it feels like it could be legit and either of these guys could leave and you would be like, oh, it makes sense that they would be leaving.
Yeah, we're in this weird place now where WWE has started like this hyper fast pace of signing talent from the indies. You know, there's always been this take out there that I agree with that the indies will never dry up because there's always, you know, new people who are really good who are popping up. But that didn't take into account WWE signing everyone really quickly. Because the idea has always been, well, they sign the top guys, then the middle guys move up to the top, the guys you haven't heard of come to the bottom, and, you know, it just, it's evolution, right? It just plays out over and over. But now they've taken not just all the guys on top, they're taking the guys in the middle and some of the guys on the bottom. And there's not really time for the indies to replenish. I mean, we'll go through these cards, I promise. And when Matt Riddle's gone, I guess Joey Janela is the biggest star in Evolve.
Yeah. Darby.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like Darby, Strickland, Janela, I guess, would be kind of like, and maybe AR Fox. Like, I think AR Fox is a star to me. But,
and as
but,
much know. As I like all those guys, right. They aren't Zach, Riddle, Keith Lee.
Right.
They're just not.
Absolutely. And it's like, yeah. And it's like you hear all this talk about like, yeah. And I think a perfect example of this is like we hear all this talk about how Austin Theory is going to go to WWE soon or one day. And you look at that guy and that's a guy who would have, you know, 10 years ago would be like just starting his indie journey. Right?
Yeah.
A guy only like a couple years into his career who still, I think, obviously has a lot of raw potential and you can obviously, it's not hard to see what people see in him and we see it too, but he's not really a main event drawing star. And so, yeah, no, they are just kind of like raising the talent pool. But then also I think in addition to that, it's not just WWE, it's like the wrestling, like Evolve's in a tough position where it's like they're the feeder system to WWE, but then they're also competing for high-end talent against like New Japan, which is a major league, and Ring of Honor, which works with New Japan and has a big TV. I think the business is just really, really healthy. And Evolve is in a tough spot where they're somewhere between sort of like a minor league indie and a major league company, right? It's like they have some guys in promotion who are like major league wrestlers, right? Like, who's better? You know, there are not really any or many wrestlers who you could look at and be like, this guy is definitively better than Zack Sabre Jr., right? You know, Matt Riddle, as much as we give him a hard time, he's like a major league wrestler.
Absolutely.
But it's not a, but so they're like trying to have this major league talent, but also like, I don't know. It's like, unless you're planning to go to WWE tomorrow, wouldn't you want to take a Ring of Honor contract over being an Evolve? And I think that we thought at the beginning of this deal that everyone was going to leave Ring of Honor and then like go to Evolve. But then the Ring of Honor guys sort of built their own thing in connection with New Japan. And it's just, yeah, it just feels like a tough place. Like losing Zack Sabre Jr. to New Japan was really tough for them. Losing Keith Lee was tough. They lose Matt Riddle. It's like they're three big stars leaving within 6 months of each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're all just gone.
And then even when you start thinking about like guys deeper down the card, like your Austin Theories, you're like, where is the depth going to come from? It just feels like a very, yeah, I don't know. We'll talk more too, because it just feels like there's just too much. I was watching last week's show and it shows, and you're just like, okay, they have three singles titles and it's like all three are being contested by like seven guys are fighting for these three titles. And you have tag titles that almost never have meaningful defenses. And you just have like, I don't know. It just feels like there's like a lot trying to happen with sort of a kind of a thin roster that doesn't have enough real stars in it.
Yeah. And this is kind of playing out everywhere. Like if you look at the PWG Bola
right.
participants, it's largely guys from other countries. Like, you know, to really fill out their roster for that, they had to go get guys from everywhere. Because I was just trying to think, like, who are the biggest American indie stars? And, you know, it's still Matt Riddle until he goes. I don't know. You know, a lot of the guys are gone. Joey Janela, I think, is a pretty big star. You know, I'm looking at this list on PWG. Sorry about that. On Bola, and it's like David Starr, who, you know, apparently Evolve doesn't like. They've used him a couple of times. Brody King hasn't, you know, made his way there yet. But then there, you know, Darby Allin, DJZ are there, Tim Thatcher. So guys that they use. But I don't know. Everybody's gone.
Yeah, I mean, Brody King was in Evolve a couple of times.
Sure. But like on a preliminary basis.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a lot of... I'm like, I see Ray Horace is on there, and I was like, oh, what's he been up to? Because I feel like he was in Evolve, like, years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, 3 years ago, and then sort of stopped coming back, but is now, like, seems like kind of a hot star. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess, you know, Evolve uses Walter, who's a big star.
Right, but these are all, like, international dudes.
Right.
Or they're, like, or not... You know, Walter is, right? And it's like, yes. Thatcher is American, but seems like, almost feels like more like a Brit Rest star, or like more of like a European star at this point. Yeah. No, you're right. It's when dudes like Donovan Dijak, who have not really had a full main event run anywhere, I mean, I guess in Beyond, but have not been sort of like touring, drawing. Yeah, that's the difference. It's like they're taking dudes who have not yet reached the level of being like touring, drawing indie stars.
For sure. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about these cards.
Yeah.
Evolve 108, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What is that, Saturday, August 4th at 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah, today's Thursday. We're recording this on Thursday. Okay, the main event for the Evolve Championship, Hardcore Rules, Matt Riddle defends versus Shane Strickland. This is, of course, their third match since May, the third straight Evolve weekend with a match between these two. Matt Riddle won the first match by DQ when Strickland wouldn't let go of that key lock that he had on him in the ropes. And the second match went to a no contest after the locker room had to separate them. What did you think about that angle, AT?
It wasn't very good, is my opinion. It was like very, it reminded me of there was a WWE pay-per-view towards the end of when I really kind of just gave up on the product where like Ryback like speared John Cena. They were having a match and Ryback speared John Cena through like the entranceway, and then the match just ended in a no contest. And it reminded me of that.
Yeah.
It was just like a thing that was like, this wasn't, a lot of thought didn't go into this. There were like a lot of like logic gaps, and yeah, there just wasn't. Yeah. This was like, it just felt like thrown together.
For sure.
Yeah. So it was a dumb finish, which kind of like blunts my excitement for this match. They're really rushing through this feud, right? Because this is their third match since May, and it's the third straight Evolve weekend where they've had a main event match. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would give them a pass if it's like, oh, we found out Matt Riddle's leaving, so we got to run through this feud to get it over with. But it doesn't feel at all like Shane Strickland's going to win and be the champion, so it's kind of like a dumb feud to rush through.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I know we're always wrong, but I only say that because Riddle has the next weekend is headlined by a Riddle Darby match,
right,
for the title, which seems like a more likely spot for him to lose the championship. But we've been wrong before.
Yes.
But regarding the match, well, I don't know. The Hardcore Rules thing kind of turns me off. I think these guys are both really good in the ring, and I love that first match they had. So I'm skeptical of this match, but I like both the guys, so hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. They're both really good wrestlers. It's the return to Philadelphia, which is exciting. I'm really curious to see how this Philadelphia crowd reacts. I know that they've been fiending for some Evolve for years now. They were there for Evolve 10, famously, and it was like they were closing the last iteration of the ECW arena, and the crowd was like, it was a longer show, I think, and they were like really there to see Sabu versus Justin Credible and like the ECW closing ceremonies, and they were booing the Johnny Gargano versus Ricochet match. And then Evolve was like, we're never going back to Philadelphia.
And who could blame them, really?
And who could blame them? Look, I think there are a lot of really good people in Philadelphia. We have a lot of friends on Twitter from Philadelphia, live in Philadelphia. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow, what a tease.
Yeah, I mean, no, but I think it'll be a good crowd because it's like a place that hasn't been sort of, they haven't sort of mined the fandom there for a while.
Yeah, I hope so.
They had I'm like so sick of ECW. I don't care anymore. I know it's like meaningful to a lot of people. And I saw Gabe posted a nice reflection on his Facebook page about, you know, what it means for him to be going back to the ECW arena. Anthony Henry posted like, this was like a life goal for me to wrestle there. So it's sweet. I'm glad that people like have the moment, but I just like, don't care. I'm like, oh, Hardcore Rules match. I'm just over it. It happened. It's done. You know, I don't know.
Right. It's like the attitude.
It's the attitude era of the indies. Exactly. It's just like, it's time to move on, folks.
Yeah. If I never heard about the attitude era again, I would be happy with that.
Right.
And I, you know, grew up in it. Like I already loved wrestling, but that like was probably the height of my fandom as a kid, you know, it was during the Attitude Era, but it's just like, it's over. All right. Evolve Tag Team Championship match. Chris Dickinson and Jocko with Stokely Hathaway and Dom Guarini take on Tracy Williams and TK Cooper. The thing behind this match is that in order to get Tracy to agree to a Loser Leaves Town match, Stokely had to agree to give him a shot at the tag titles. And, you know, he'd get to pick his partner. He picked TK Cooper, which, you know, nice little throwback to the South Pacific Power Trip and Doom Patrol matches. Though I would much prefer if this were a South Pacific Power Trip versus Doom Patrol match.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this will be pretty good. I think that this will be a... Yeah, I think this will be a really fun match. I thought that they did some good work with some of the mini docs on this sort of building up this feud. And we finally saw Tracy Williams say, like, you know, I've made mistakes, right? They turned him babyface just because he was victimized and he never was like, oh yeah, sorry for being a dickhead, you know, for the past year. But he said he'd made mistakes, and the biggest mistake was letting Stokely Hathaway, you know, take over Catch Point. So that was nice. I don't know. I feel like I'm not super into this feud just because it's like it took them months for Tracy Williams to even express contrition, like really to provide any reason to root for him. But I think this will be a really good match. I think Tracy Williams is always really good in tag team matches. And, you know, especially I feel like in an environment like this, they're just going to be throwing bombs. And yeah, I think it'll be a good match. Good to see TK Cooper back. And I think that, like, right, they basically had to get through three more shows before they could get to the Loser Leave Town match, which is, you know, Chris Dickinson and Stokely Hathaway versus Tracy Williams. If Dickinson and Hathaway wins, Tracy Williams has to leave. If Tracy Williams wins, Stokely Hathaway has to leave Evolve. So I think that they're doing a nice job here of sort of like stretching this feud out over the three shows that they need to get to.
I don't know if TK's been wrestling. I don't follow him that closely, but you know, the last time we saw him is when he broke his leg, right? In Evolve.
Right. No, I thought that that was at the Progress show that night. That was during Progress. It was a Progress Evolve doubleheader.
Okay.
But he got injured during the Progress show because that was when it got like really hot and
yeah.
Heatgate happened.
Sure.
But yeah, this will be fun. It'll be good. I feel like they need to beef up this tag team title reign for Chris Dickinson and Jocko because they've held the belt since like September of 2017. And I just remember being excited for it, but they just haven't really done much with these titles. Like they had a couple like no contest matches against the end. You know, things like that. So yeah, it just feels like they should defend these titles more in more meaningful matches, and this feels good. Sorry, that was a really long-winded and like non-substantial talking about this match. Sorry.
It just occurred to me that Tracy Williams is a lot like Travis Banks.
Okay.
In that they're both really good in tag teams and really boring in singles matches.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my take.
Sure.
So this might be like the Doom Patrol South Pacific Power Trip matches. Thank you for that take. Okay, non-title special challenge match. Your WWN champion, Joey Janela, with Penelope Ford, takes on AR Fox, who will be joined by Ayla and the Skulk. What did you think about the crowd's reaction to Janela on last month's shows?
It was impressive. Yeah. They were really excited to see him. And I like him quite a bit. But I'm also not like buying a ticket to see Joey Janela unless it's like a weird Joey Janela spring break kind of match.
Same.
Like, and I think this will be fun because you'll have like the interplay between like Joey Janela and Penelope and AR Fox and the Skulk. And so there's like a lot of, this is going to be a match with like a lot of good and fun character work.
Oh yeah.
So I think that this is going to be fun, but like thinking about Joey Janela Navajo, it's like, am I really excited for like Joey Janela versus Tracy Williams or Joey Janela versus Jocker or whatever? You don't really get up for it.
I had to do 6 hours of driving yesterday for work, and so I needed some more podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I had heard that Joey Janela was on Steve Austin's podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that could be interesting. So I downloaded it and I started listening to it on the way back last night. What was most fascinating to me is Austin is like, well, you don't think you're going to WWE, right? And I mean, yeah, he laid it into him. And Janela's like, he must have seen it on his face, because then Austin's like, or do you? Or is that your goal? And Janela's like, yeah, Evolve is the feeder to NXT. So I'm here to like hone my skills so that I can move on to the next level, which was really surprising to me.
Really?
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm like stone cold here, and that I just don't see WWE ever signing Joey Janela.
I'm not sure whether they would or won't, but like I would have guessed that Joey Janela wants to go to the WWE, especially a guy who, like, when you look at him and his character and the way he presents himself, it's like, this is a guy who grew up watching like sports entertainment. Like, sure. This is not a guy who was like, or at least in my conception of it, like, this is not a guy who was growing up and being like, oh, I want to be like Bryan Danielson, or
in fact, I want
to go to Japan and do whatever.
A little bit. I mean, in fact, he says that he was bored by that Ring of Honor style when he was that age. Like, he says nowadays, you know, he enjoys that style, but that he hated it then. And he was into the big WWE style, but he also was into Japan as far as like FMW goes.
Right. Yes, exactly. But I'm not surprised to hear that he wants to go to WWE, and he has a lot of personality and charisma.
Yeah.
They're just signing anyone who is like kind of a star to NXT. Like, I think he could definitely get to NXT.
I think
he could be like a WWE main eventer. I don't know.
It's like, I think he has a great look for his character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he has the kind of look that WWE looks for.
Right.
And I think that still applies. Like, I know they've signed some guys who don't necessarily have the look that you would expect, but most of those guys are big guys, right?
Right.
So I don't know. I guess I was surprised because it's never occurred to me that Joey Janela would end up in NXT or WWE.
Right. But at this point, if you can get over enough and we're seeing that he's like maybe doing it, you can go to WWE. Like, if you're a big enough star, they will sign you.
I guess if you're running NXT and the point is how many tickets can we draw on our tours, then Janela probably is a good signing, because he would be over huge in Full Sail and with the normal NXT crowd.
Right.
They don't seem to sign a lot of the guys. I mean, I know he doesn't just do death matches, but they don't seem to sign a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's completely off the topic. I just thought it was interesting.
No.
Anything else you want to say about this match?
No, I have a take, but I'm going to save it for the WWN Championship match the next night.
Okay. All right, we have a grudge match. Darby Allin takes on Austin Theory with Priscilla Kelly. You're deleting things in the run sheet as I'm talking here. Theory attacked Darby after Evolve 107 to show him that, of course, the FIP Heavyweight Championship is the most important championship. So I don't know. What do you think about Darby Allin versus Austin Theory? I've kind of cooled on Austin Theory of late. Like, he's not – his trajectory isn't as upward as I once thought it would be.
I agree. He's sort of – it feels like he grew and grew, and then he's kind of plateaued in this sort of level where you're like, okay, he's very good, but he's not super compelling. His character is, like, interesting, but it's like Randy Orton – it's like a Randy Orton character.
Yeah.
And then his wrestling is like good, but not, he's not like an elite wrestler. Right. This is a fascinating match, right? Because we've seen this story develop, right? We saw at Evolve 96 going into that, it was like two guys on parallel paths who, you know, William Regal was like, you guys need to be the breakout stars and you both should challenge yourselves to like win a championship in the next year. Right. And Austin Theory won the FIP championship. He won the WWN championship. And even though Darby Allin beat him in that match, Darby Allin has yet to win a championship in Evolve. So I think you have this interesting sort of like parallel paths. They're great sort of contrasts between, you know, Austin Theory, the guy who has had everything handed to him and is openly talking about being a WWE champion, and Darby Allin, a guy who has to scrap and claw for every single thing that he gets. So yeah, I think that it's like an interesting story, and it's a story that involves Darby Allin, who after his match against Walter, I think he's the best wrestler in the company. He's certainly my favorite guy on the roster right now. And when you look back at kind of like the two matches that are going to stand out, three matches will stand out to me about this year so far, I think. And it's like Zack Sabre Jr. versus Darby Allin, Darby Allin versus Walter, there's more matches. I got this wrong. But I think that Darby Allin has been like, I think he's the most compelling character in the company. And I think that like, it's him and Matt Riddle who are like the two best wrestlers in the company right now. Unless you, like, I don't know if you count Walter in that, but
right.
He's real for me. What I'm trying to say is he's reached another level for me. He's an elite wrestler. He can go, I think, wherever he wants, and he's going to get over because he's great at what he does.
It's funny because at that Evolve 96 show, I remember thinking it was kind of laughable to include Darby with Austin Theory. I thought Austin Theory was definitely about to be a breakout star. He was obviously on his way to the Fed. And Darby Allin was a nice little wrestler who would probably top out on the high-level indies. And Darby has just raced past him, in my estimation, as a performer, as a wrestler. I'm not sure about, like, long-term. You know, in a just world, Darby Allin would be a better long-term prospect than Austin Theory. But in this world, he's not. You know, I still think Austin Theory, I don't see Darby Allin ever being in like a WWE title match. And you can imagine Austin Theory wrestling, you know, Randy Orton or whoever for the WWE title, you know, in 5 years or whatever. So I do think their paths are interesting, and maybe not for everyone, but I think at least for you and me, these two will always be linked together in some way. And it'll be interesting to see how their paths diverge from here.
Absolutely.
I do think it's interesting that Priscilla Kelly is going to get to the Fed before Austin Theory, and that she is going to be working the Mae Young Classic. So good for her.
Good for Priscilla Kelly. Mae Young Classic should be. I'll maybe check out the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I was like super hyped for it, and then it like was kind of a letdown. I watched the early rounds, and it was like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was tough early on because there's a lot of really good women's wrestlers, but not a ton like at the top of the game, right? It's kind of like when Ronda Rousey burst on the MMA scene and people really she destroyed everybody, and then suddenly women started to catch up with her, right? So we're just starting to see that happen. Now, in Japan, of course, it's a different world, but so I think there will be early stuff that will be better this time, although some of the people they've signed for it are kind of weird. But the high-level stuff in Mae Young Classic was very good. Like the Kyrie-Shayna Baszler match was good. Kyrie had a great match with Bianca Belair in the Mae Young Classic last time around. But, you know, this year we're going to have, you know, Io is going to be in the Mae Young Classic. So there's a chance for a lot of good stuff. Hopefully, I hope there's an Io-Kyrie match in the Mae Young Classic this year.
I mean, they signed Sada. They got Satomura too, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Satomura is going to be there.
Yeah,
I forgot about her. That's brilliant. They just had a great match in Japan, so it would be awesome to see them hook up in the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, I'll try to watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it for sure. All right, four-way freestyle: JD Drake versus John Davis versus Josh Briggs versus Odinson, joined by Perot and Drennan. This JD Drake and the End coming back to Evolve. I felt confident JD Drake will be back. I wasn't as confident about the End, But here they are, although interestingly, Perot not wrestling. Only Odinson is getting a wrestling appearance here.
Hmm. Yeah, kind of weird about the end where it was like, yeah, the Aarons were right after that first weekend.
Yep.
They made a big deal to like save face in the public eye. Like they were like, oh, we have a big angle coming. And then it wasn't really a big angle. And they went away for a weekend. Odinson's coming back, but there's like no fanfare. Seems like he'll be second from the bottom, a four-way match. Yeah, we'll see. Seems like they're pretty high on Josh Briggs. Like they're going to push him pretty strong. And you can see this big athletic guy as a guy that, you know, they would get behind and a guy who you sort of look at and you're like, oh, this is a person who, you know, will be in WWE soon. And I think that really speaks to kind of like what we were talking about how quickly they're signing guys and how hard it is to sort of restock the cupboard for Evolve, in the sense that like 5 years ago, we'd be like, oh, Josh Briggs is amazing. I can't wait to watch his indie career. And as he develops and he gets better and he goes to AAW and PWG and like, you know, really becomes a big star. But now it's like, okay, he's going to be in Evolve for like a year. He'll be in NXT by, you know, March of 2020, right?
Yep. Stuck on the Largo loop.
Right. So that's a thing that I think about. Like, we'll never get to see him have like a great Evolve main event run.
Right. It's funny because like for a long time it was like, well, I enjoy watching NXT, and when they get called to the main roster, I'm like, okay, it's like that person retired. You know, that's it for them. Right. Now it's like, oh, that person got signed by WWE. It's like they retired. You know, like they're going to NXT. Yeah, I still like to catch the takeovers, you know, but it's just like now I know that I'll probably only see this person wrestle like once or twice a year.
Right. So, and if you're a big enough star, you can like get on the takeovers right away. Like Ricochet is wrestling. I'm going to that takeover in Brooklyn, nice. I guess later this month. I guess Ricochet is wrestling Adam Cole. But ooh. Yeah, what is Donovan Dijak doing right now? I haven't like followed it. Is he on TV?
I don't think he's even on TV, but I could be wrong about that. He just got repackaged, right? Like he just got a new name.
Okay.
His name is, do you not know about this?
No, I think I saw it, but please read it to me again.
It's Dominic Dijakovic.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the good shit.
Yeah, it's messed up.
I feel like they're just like, he's Eastern European.
Right. Anyway, I'm glad Katie Greek is back.
Is that like the point of the name was to like highlight it?
I'm sure, but I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm glad JD Drake is back. And I'm really glad they're continuing to book John Davis.
Yeah. Did you notice that like on the shows last weekend, it seemed like they were falling into kind of WWE speak in terms of like using people's secondary nicknames a lot?
Oh, no, I missed
that. Like when they talked about him coming back, they were like, JD Drake, the blue collar badass. Right, that's his nickname, right?
Oh yeah, it is.
Which is just like, it feels like derivative of Stone Cold Steve Austin in a way, and also just feels like, I don't know, they could come up with a better name. But it also, I remember like listening and hearing like Lenny Leonard sort of like do a butt like several, like, you know, like when you watch WWE and it's like the big dog, like, yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. Keep an eye out for it.
Okay. Well, I hope Lenny will refer to John Davis as noted Everything Evolves listener, John Davis.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. He was in the mentions after the last episode talking about the show.
What'd he say?
I mean, obviously, like, Nate and Jake and I all said nice things about him, so he was happy about that.
Okay, cool.
But he was really good, so, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was live tweeting the show, and I guess Jonathan Davis was a surprise. You know, wasn't like Steve Austin showing up, you know, but right. It was a surprise. And Oat was like, oh, I can't wait to like sell you on why John Davis is good or disagree with you about John Davis. I'm like, no, John Davis rules. So we got to do that. And apparently he was listening, so he enjoyed it. All right. Special attraction match. Anthony Henry takes on Saeed Al-Sabah. Both guys coming off big wins. Henry beat Timothy Thatcher clean at Evolve 107, and Al-Sabah pinned Jaka in a four-way in his, I believe, debut, and kind of took everybody by storm.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this dude is nuts.
Yeah, WWN contracted talent, Saeed Al-Sabah. No, he was really good. I liked him.
I never heard of him. Look. I didn't know anything about
him. Like, kind of got that sort of like militant revolutionary look with the hat.
Yeah, I like that.
It's good. Yeah, I'm into it. I'm for it. Anthony Henry is good.
Yeah, it turns out he's like 34.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys on the podcast, and I remember you talking about that. Yeah, no, but he's good. I think that this will be good and interesting to see where both these guys go. Like, Anthony Henry is a guy who, like, feels fresh. He has good matches. He hasn't been, like, exhausted. I don't know. Yeah, you could see him moving up the card and sort of doing interesting things.
For sure. I agree. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Evolve 109 in Melrose, Massachusetts, August 5 at Sunday at 4 p.m. The main event, the WWN Championship match, Joey Janela with Penelope Ford takes on Darby Allin. So I guess the interesting thing is that Darby has shots at both the Evolve and WWN titles this month. He's going to take on Matt Riddle in the next weekend's shows. He, of course, beat Walter and Jerick 120 on back-to-back nights last weekend. I know we're not going to talk about the Darby Allin Matt Riddle match yet, but which do you think is more likely that Darby wins? Not asking you to make a prediction. I'm just, which do you think is more likely?
Maybe the Evolve Championship, because it's like, why have him win the WWN Championship? Like, he's like, Joey Janela just won it. Theoretically, they're going to keep having him come back.
Oh, yeah.
WWN Championship is so fucking stupid. Just get rid of this stupid title. It doesn't mean anything. It's fake. No one gives a shit about it. It feels so hollow when, like, Darby's like, I want to win a championship, either the WWN or the Evolve. And it's like, the WWN is like a fake thing. And it's clearly the secondary title, but they talk about it like it's kind of on the same level. You don't need three fucking singles titles in a company this small that runs twice a month. It's like, I'm just like so annoyed by it because it just feels like such, it just depletes the value of the other title and just feels like right now there are three singles titles and there's like seven guys wrestling for them. And it feels like, it's like, and you just have this experience of like guys lose a title match and then immediately have a title match for another title. And you're like, why does this person have a title match? They just lost. You know, like you have sort of like, it's like you have Matt Riddle and Shane Strickland are like, and I guess now Darby are in the Evolve Championship division. And then you have like Joey Janela, AR Fox, Austin Theory, and like Darby Allin are all competing over like the FIP and WWN championships. Right? It just, I don't know. It's just like,
They don't have a deep enough roster for this many singles titles.
Like, right.
Like New Japan has too many singles titles and they have a huge roster.
Right. And so it just feels like it's like, why? I like kind of can't really be bothered to care about this championship. I think it'll be a good match, but you're like, I don't know. I don't really care who wins. Well, whereas like the Evolve Championship is like a real championship.
Well, but having both of them and then the FIP title and putting Evolve and WWN on basically the same level destroys what it felt like when Zach beat Thatcher for the Evolve Championship. We will never have that again in this promotion until they get rid of one of these titles.
I don't know. It still felt like a big deal. But no, you're right. Right. It just feels like, yeah, it's overkill. It doesn't make any sense.
Neither title is special at this point because of that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the Evolve Championship is still special.
I don't know.
But it's like not as special.
Like if Darby beats Matt Riddle for the Evolve title, that will be exciting.
Yeah.
But I think it would be, but it's exciting because it's Darby.
Right.
Right? it won't be as exciting as like Zach winning that title. Like that was just a special moment where Thatcher had this one title forever.
Right.
And Zach finally overcomes him. And I don't think they can recreate that with these two titles at the same time on the same level.
Yeah. I mean, although it's clear what matters, here's a little trivia question. When do you think was the last Evolve show that did not have Matt Riddle in the main event?
In the main event?
Yeah.
Well, it would have had to have been back when they were doing one where they didn't defend a title on a weekend, right? Like when Zach and Riddle were champions.
I'm not going to give you any hints. I'm asking you to guess.
Well, I don't know.
You have to go back to February's Evolve 100 with Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Austin Theory.
Ah.
For the Evolve and retaining his Evolve championship.
Right. So if Riddle leaves, that's like a huge hole.
Like, think about that and sort of where the roster is, where they've just sort of had to rely. They have these two titles, but there's one guy in the main event. So Evolve 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, plus the Super Show, which he also main evented. That's like nine straight shows that Matt Riddle's been in the main event. A half year, basically, of main events for Matt Riddle. So, interesting to think about.
And I wouldn't be, I know how this is listed, but don't be shocked if Matt Riddle versus Austin Theory goes on last at Evolve 109.
That's true. Yeah. Can you give me one sec? I just need to plug in my computer.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll vamp a little, I guess. We don't know. I mean, this is how they have them listed, but they definitely have done in the past where they throw in Riddle in the main event or somebody else in the main event other than how they listed it. I mean, the big one that I really remember, though, was when it was like, you thought Austin Theory was going to be in the main event, and then they put that match on like first because they clearly didn't have a lot of faith in Austin Theory. So I don't know, but yeah, that's what I guess. Maybe they've done a better job. Maybe if I was paying better attention, I would view the Evolve title as not quite on the same level. But I just don't think it's as special anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, yeah, as we just talked about, the next match is going to be a non-title champion versus champion match, with Matt Riddle taking on Austin Theory. Theory attacked Riddle after his match against AR Fox. That kind of sets this up a little bit. You think this is an opportunity to get Austin Theory a win over Matt Riddle on Riddle's way out?
Maybe, yeah. But you look at this match, you're just like, who cares? Or sure. Like, it just doesn't feel appetizing to me. And you know, it always just feels, and it just felt like a clear, like, oh, I think that right now what's happening is Austin Theory is just feuding with everyone. They have kind of a thin roster and they have four shows in a month. So they're just having Austin Theory like mix it up with everyone. And so sometimes that works when it feels like authentic and real. And like, it's just a real person who's like living their lives and getting into conflicts. But here it just felt very like Austin Theory came out to attack Matt Riddle. Like, there are times when it's like, oh, he's attacking him because they have beef, or he hates him, or he wants his spot. And here it just felt like Austin Theory came out to attack Matt Riddle so they could set up a match. You know? Right. I think the issue with AR Fox is interesting because that's his, like, real-life trainer, and you have kind of, right, like, the you could have been one of us sort of thing. So that's, like...
Yeah, that's much more interesting.
Yeah. That's fascinating. So we'll see when that comes around. But this is kind of like, whatever.
I think it's also interesting that Austin Theory is better as a character, as a heel. Mm-hmm. But he's better as a wrestler, as a babyface.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Remember him taking that beating against Trent?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was good.
And that's when we started being like, oh, this guy can go. Or, you know, he's got some potential in the ring. I just think he's not compelling on top in matches. He's much more compelling working from the bottom.
A common Bentley complaint.
Is it?
Old standbys.
Do I say that a lot?
I feel like you said it a lot about Tracy Williams.
Oh, he's definitely not compelling on top. And I'm sure Cara and Erica are really enjoying this this part of the podcast.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is Austin Theory is a bottom and Matt Riddle is a switch. That's what I'm saying.
No holds barred matched. Chris Dickinson with Stokely Hathaway versus Tracy Williams. Kind of a preview of the big Loser Leaves Town match coming up later in the month. And yeah, you would expect this to like have some kind of like fuck finish, something inconclusive, or because it's basically, it's almost, I mean, Stokely Hathaway isn't in the match, but it's almost a carbon copy of the big match. So you would expect some catch point shenanigans and things of that nature.
Yeah, I'm tired of this feud. Let's just get to the Loser Leaves Town match and move on from this, please.
Right. I'm ready for catch point to end.
Plus it's weird because like I want Chris Dickinson to win.
Right.
And he's right. The heel in the story.
Right. You're just, yeah, exactly. You're like, it's like, yeah.
Right.
They have not done, yeah, we've talked about it a million times. They have not done a great job of engendering sympathy for Tracy Williams. And
no.
Whatever. It might be all a good match. Whatever. Keep going.
Special challenge match. Evolve Tag Team Champion Jocka with Stokely Hathaway takes on Josh Briggs. This really has the feel of like the first match devolves.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Josh Briggs runs out and then, you know, they ring the bell and this match starts. Yeah.
So, for sure. Josh Briggs 4-0 in Evolve.
That's right. Appears to be somebody they're really getting behind. He appears to be contracted to WWN. So I would imagine he will continue to win matches to keep building him up.
Right. And we saw, Stokely, he declined Stokely Hathaway's invitation to join Catchpoint and attack the Catchpoint boys last month. So, yeah, mixing it up.
Now, I don't know if this will be the first match or not, but the only other match announced so far is probably my most anticipated match of the show, which is a special attraction match. Shane Strickland takes on Saeed Al-Sabah. So the interesting thing for Al-Sabah on this weekend is, can he perform in a singles match the way he did in the four-way, right? A lot easier to shine in a four-way than it is when it's just you and one other dude. So we'll see what sort of skills he has on this front. But if he's as good as he was in that four-way, this could be very cool.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Shane Strickland after he wins or loses the Evolve Championship.
Not a good sign that he's in a match against Saeed Al-Sabah on the next night.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. There will be more matches announced. AR Fox with ALM the Skulker on this card. JD Drake and Anthony Henry separately. Of course, they're not a tag team anymore. The End, John Davis, Dom Guarini, plus more to be added. I don't think that's true. Those are the cards for the first weekend. I guess that's it. Is there anything else to say about these shows?
No, I mean, I hope we get this company back on track. Because like after last weekend, there are times when it feels like the booking in the company feels like focused and there are like clear directions and things we're looking forward to. And then there are times where it just feels like there's a bunch of stuff going on and you're not sure what to focus on. And there's no clear delineation of hierarchy. And, you know, you got a bunch of stuff moving around. And I hope that they... And sometimes they write the ship. And I think that a lot of times, like weekends where we're not high on things or where they have their best stuff, like the one thing you can always say is like the quality of wrestling is usually pretty strong in this company. So it's like you could be being like great in-ring shows, right? I think we'll see.
Yeah, I really worry about, you know, I had a take a while back about like that Gabe is better when he seems like hungry, you know, when he's like cornered.
Right.
And I don't know that exists anymore because, you know, he got the big job with WWE. So, like, I don't know. Maybe he has to get fired from WWE for there to be another, like, really focused booking time for Evolve. So I agree that the wrestling is still going to be very good, but I do worry that it's going to be hard to get that sort of focused, well-thought-out booking that we're used to when Evolve is really good.
Right.
That's all. Yeah. All right. Like I said, we'll be back early next week. It's going to be a little weird for me. I'm traveling this weekend, so I'm not sure exactly when we'll be back with our review slash preview show. But I'm really rooting for the shows this weekend because I'm going to be at the show in Chicago on the next weekend.
Right.
So I'm hoping that they're going to set up some cool stuff for that. So I didn't talk about Twitter at the start of the show because I was so excited to have Aaron back on the show. Of course, make sure to follow us at Evolve Pod. We don't post a lot, so we're not going to like blow up your timeline. Mainly, it's just if something happens in between shows, we'll throw out a little take. And we talk about the shows, you know, as they're going on live. So follow us there at Evolve Pod. I'm at Aaron Like the Car. AT is at AP Taub. We post a lot on those accounts. So, you know, buyer beware, I suppose. But I guess that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week. For Aaron, I'm Aaron. Bye.